نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد.
With Allah's grace, with His blessings, Allah Ta'ala has to us given in this great, great month, Azeem month, He has given us the opportunity to spend the time nicely. And Allah has given us the tawfiq, the ability, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, His ni'mas, to value them, to appreciate them. Allah, may He give us the ability to value and appreciate His ni'mas. Allah's ni'mas, His treasures, to recognize them, and according to their greatness, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be grateful for them. In this month, the important message that Allah Ta'ala is giving to us, that is this, that the whole life of the individual, there's a complete method of how to practically live that life. Comprehensive. What is the objective, the meaning of our life that we are living? And a person, he gets extreme loss in life, during the life, that if he spends his life without caution, without meaning, if there's no caution, there's no value of life, there's no meaning to the life, that Allah Ta'ala has given us the breaths and the life, how valuable these things are. And with life, Allah Ta'ala has announced in the Quran that the life of the mu'min, I have bought it, I have purchased it. So how valuable will those people be who Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is purchasing them, buying them? So if Allah buys somebody, then it can't be some minor transaction, must be a major transaction. So this is the point, that the individual should be a mu'min, a believer, a proper believer. And Allah Ta'ala values that person's life, a mu'min. So Allah purchases the life of the mu'min. Imagine the maqam of the mu'mineen, the believers. How brilliant a trade this is, a trade-off. That a mu'min, he assigns himself to Allah, hands himself over to Allah. And why does Allah Ta'ala purchase that mu'min, that believer? Allah says that on my words, on my ahkams, my instructions, my orders, according to my Quran, according to my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, those people who live their lives in that manner, and they obey my words and they leave this world in that way, Allah says, then that's it, I purchased that person, I bought that person. And he's not a minor human being then that you can just leave him to the side. Yes, Allah says, prior to that person returning to me, I will give him the, Allah Ta'ala says that I will give him a kingdom, a reward. Imagine the daraja, the reward of this. So to make a mu'min on that level, Allah Ta'ala, in this month of Ramadan, He gives us a great message in Ramadan, that you will become a mu'min like this, that who Allah Ta'ala purchases with valuable lives, that person who lives his life cautiously. Because this life, you know, imagine outside there's mud, there's dirt, there's nettles and thorns, and you're wearing clean clothes, and you have to navigate through that mud and the dirt and the nettles. How you will tread through that? You'll be careful, no splashes, no dirt of the mud gets on your clothes. You don't want your feet to tread or your clothes to get torn by the nettles, the thorns. You'll be so cautious, suddenly you'll change the speed this way, you look left and right, and you'll tread your feet differently, and your style of walking will be different, and you won't be easy, you'll be uncomfortable, you'll be cautious, extremely cautious, you'll sort of be careful. So life is the same thing. You can't live the life without care, just jump here and there and waste time and life's passed away. Not right. What happened? You do get up in the morning, do something else in the afternoon, do something else in the evening. No, life is for caution. You have to live your life carefully, properly. We should be, as more careful you are, the more better mu'min you will be. The better a believer you be, the better a Muslim you will be. Why? Because the person who is careful going through the mud and through the nettles and the thorns, and the sharp objects, then mashallah, you'll save your clothes. You will protect your clothes, preserve your clothes. Then when you get through that challenge, then with ease and peace, you'll be grateful, though my clothes have been saved. In the same way, a human being, when he is careful in the life, cautious, then he will get permanent happiness in the hereafter. And he'll be extremely happy that, subhanAllah, I was careful in the world, I was cautious, and I trod carefully, and Allah has given me the rewards. So this is the thing that we are discussing. And Ramadan practically is demonstrating this message to us. That this is just, for example, I've just said this to you and you heard this. That's a spoken, verbally, but the enjoyment is practically. You haven't come here to listen. I'm not telling you just so that you listen to me. I'm telling you so that you listen. After listening, then you need to go to the next step, the next stage, that we do amal on this, practice on this, so that the objective of what we're listening to and being spoken about, we attain the objective, inshallah. Okay, so see here that this is how we should live our life, carefully, cautiously. And two things we have to be careful about, Allah Ta'ala has told us. Two things. A good mu'min, strong believer, who Allah Ta'ala purchases and buys, then there are two elements to his purchase. There are two things we need to be careful about in our life. First thing we need to be careful about in our life, the first thing we have to be extremely cautious about in our life, very careful, is that Allah Ta'ala's any good deed, any scale of good deed, never consider it as small. This is where a person loses. Every good deed, doesn't matter how small scale it may look to you, that good deed, when you practice that, imagine what you attain from that. Think about this first. Every good deed in response to that, Allah gives Jannah, paradise. Paradise. For every good deed. So that's the first point to remember. And number two, better than Jannah, is that Allah Ta'ala gives His happiness and pleasure. Allah's happiness is attained. So if Allah's happiness is attained, Allah's pleasure is attained, then after that, the third reward. So this is the schedule that Allah Ta'ala keeps opening the doors, the sequence. So when you do one action, for example, you came to pray Salah. After praying Salah, some people departed, some remained and sat down, say SubhanAllah. Those who left, they've departed. But those who are listening and sat down, they're listening to good things, aren't they? Because their niyyah was, so Allah Ta'ala opened the second door for them. So after every good deed, automatically Allah Ta'ala starts to open the doors. And those who left, departed, they said, we pray Salah. You prayed? Yeah, I prayed. Where are they now? Yes, you also prayed, and also you are listening now as well to the good. So the doors open. So you've heard now, the next door Allah Ta'ala will open up then, SubhanAllah. And the next door, that once you've heard, so it's in Allah's control, Allah's responsibility, Allah's rahmah pulls on that person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to that person who's listening, then Allah ta'ala opens his heart. Allah opens his heart, say subhanAllah. Allah opens his heart. So from here the human being is developed. Allah ta'ala opens his heart. Unravels his heart. When Allah opens his heart, then mashallah, everything starts to go into the heart of that person, pours into the heart of that person, the goodness. Look, for after one good deed, another good deed comes. After that deed, another good deed comes. So when you see a good deed, when you identify it, what's the method? Very easy method. Then no good deed in your life will go to waste. No good deed will go to waste. So what's the method? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam start to follow his sunnah. That's a great action, a great good deed. That deed will become such a good deed that you'll get the reward of 100 martyrs, 100 shaheed. Imagine how Islam is so simple. 100 shaheed thawab. How? That, for example, if you don't leave any good deed in life, that's step one. Ramadan is teaching us this. How is Ramadan telling us? Don't leave any good deed, any good opportunity in life. And how can you look for good deeds? How do you define a good deed? Very simple method. Allah Ta'ala has explained to us that in your life you will never regret when you come back to me. That whatever you do in your life, do it according to the method, the lifestyle of the Prophet. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Just do one action before you do any action. Think that how did the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam implement this action? How did he do wudu? When you think like this, then automatically your whole wudu becomes a good deed. So yes, if you're going to sleep in the mattress, in the bed, everyone sleeps in the world, but you think, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he used to go to his bed to take rest? That's it, you go to the bed, 100 shaheed thawab for that action. So can you be poor in the hereafter? How rich and wealthy will that person be? Tell me. Then you start wearing your clothes. You think, mashallah, this is good, I can wear it like this. But let me think now, how did the Prophet of Allah, which clothes did he like more to wear? So then you wear those clothes. These are all, Allah's recording all of these actions automatically. You don't have to work hard, you know, sweating, you don't have to go on Hajj, Umrah. 100 shaheed thawab on every single good deed you're doing. How easy is the deen of Islam? We think Islam, only that person will succeed who prays a lot of salah, he recites Quran all the time, he's gone on Umrah all the time, he's gone on Hajj all the time, wear bone idol, I've done nothing. Oh servant of Allah, you can do so much in your life. Each and every one of us. Every second there's stacks and mountains of good thawab that you will have unlimited thawab till evening. I'll ask you a question now. In Ramadan, what have we done? So many Qurans I read, so many Juz I read. Did anyone think like this and spend Ramadan that earned the good deeds during Ramadan? Tell me the honest truth. Answer, no. Despite the fact that Allah Ta'ala was, He said, Allah says, how am I giving you tarteeb of good deeds so that we don't leave any good deed? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is practically to make us implement this, say Subhanallah, to practically demonstrate this to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we're greedy, aren't we? Human beings are greedy. We run towards the greed and amassing things. So Allah says, I'll make you practice during the 30 days. So for this, Allah ta'ala says, that I'll give you like a carrot and the stick. You know, the carrot and the stick. So Allah ta'ala says, in Ramadan, that every good deed you do, I will give you the reward of a fard, compulsory. So imagine now, fard is that action that all your life you can carry on praying nafl, but it cannot equate to one fard salah. You cannot, what fard has gone? It's gone. It's lost. As soon, all the dunya gathers, doesn't more happens, they work hard. No one can become a sahabi now. No one. Because the companion who saw the blessed face of the Prophet physically, he is a sahabi. He's a companion. You can never find a sahabi now because they were those who saw the face of the Prophet practically. So fard is such an action, Allah's law, you can't change it. From where? From one good deed, a small good deed, you come and you think that he's had a Muslim. Let me earn a good deed now. Assalamu alaikum, you say to him. How many good deeds you'll get just for that? Assalamu alaikum. Rewards. Imagine how many rewards you get. And one person goes to Umrah, Hajj, he travels, he's going to do Umrah, he's doing Tawaf, and he gets angry with somebody, he starts swearing at that person. That person, that is he earned was that person who sat here in this locality, and he's earning the good deeds. What's the comparison? So we are not in loss. Okay, fine, you should be envious of those people, mashallah, he's earning lots, and he's gone there on Umrah. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't leave anybody to lose out. I can also earn, you can earn, we can all earn. So if Ramadan we do these actions, how much thawab will we get? Tell me. Allahu Akbar. Equivalent to the fard, you will get the reward. Yes, all of, for example, count is unlimited reward due to it becoming a fard. So this is the Ramadan teaching us in life, be careful, be cautious, spend your life carefully, select every second of a good deed. Even if you get a chance to a small deed, so-called, attain it, practice it, grab it. So the tariqah to do this is that in your life, if you spend your life, there's a good method to get the rewards. The Quran has told us this. Ya ayyuha ladheena, amanu taqullah. That if you want to spend the life like this, which is called the life of taqwa, ittaqullah, fear of Allah, if you want to completely become a good Muslim, who Allah Ta'ala purchases those Muslims, do you want to be a Muslim who Allah Ta'ala buys you? Qunu ma'as sadiqeen, Allah says then. That Allah says, they are my friends in the world, pious people, good people, I've distributed them across the world. My friends are those people who spend their life carefully, who live their life carefully. Their every second in life is spent like this, that I don't want to waste my seconds. I want to earn good deeds. They're the walis of Allah. Walis of Allah don't have horns on their head. They don't have longer beards. They don't have big stomachs. Yeah, they don't have. The friend of Allah is the person who lives his life in obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the wali Allah. That's the definition of a wali Allah. Whether he's black, white, tall, Chinese, Japanese, Pakistani, Indian, European, Arabic, doesn't matter who he is. Yes, all equivalent to Allah. They're all spiders. And if they become good, then they're all flowers, not spiders anymore. Nobody, there's no background and culture and language. The biggest thing for a believer is taqwa. How strong is taqwa? On the day of resurrection, when Allah will call out, nobody will be called, oh, come this man, Chaudhary Saab, this country, that language, this continent. Nobody will call out. They will be sought out. There's their muttaqi. They'll say, yeah, yes, Allah, I'm a muttaqi. Allah will say, come to the front. Come to the front. You are a pure person from the dunya. So that's what we need to adopt now, that will be beneficial for us in the hereafter on the Day of Judgment. So Allah says, you have to be careful in life. This is a very dangerous world we're in. There are ditches and traps. And your two enemies are always with you. Nafs and Shaitan are with you all the time to deviate you. If you do a lot of ibadah worship, and you think that you, for example, do a lot of ibadah, extreme ibadah takes you towards kibr, mutakabir. Oh, I do ibadah, I worship, I pray, I'm pious. Anything you do when you go into the extreme of high quantity, kibr will come. If you do too much mujahada, kibr will come. Riyah will come, pretense, fake ibadah. So to wipe this away, what action should we do? That you should wipe away, eliminate the pretense, extreme quantity, but ibadah should also be there, the balance. So for this it's stated, قُونُ مَا صَادِقِينَ, adhere to the company of the pious person, the wali Allah. Allah says, he's my friend for this reason. That how many paths the Quran has shown to us to become human beings. We say, oh, I don't need to do this, I pray, I practice, I know how to read Quran, mashallah, I am muttaqi, I don't need to take guidance from a sheikh, a wali Allah, why should I do bayah and pledge allegiance to a teacher, I don't need to go to him, I don't have no benefit. This is today's common statement, this is kibr, this is pride, that you don't want to submit yourself spiritually, you don't want to make a teacher your ustad, why should I ask him, why should I refer to him, why should I get advice from him? Why do I need to sit in front of him? Why don't I do it to look up to him? This is kibr. This is kibr. The shaitan, who considered he was a big man, Allah says, you are like this. What do you know? That is your salah accepted? There could be riyah and fake. There could be bughz inside you. Maybe you're showing off to people and show that the dunya should praise you, that you're pious and that you're a good man, etc. So that's why you're practicing possibly. So the field, whatever field you're in, Islamically, if you don't have the hand of the wali Allah on your head, and he's your guide, then you're doing it for the sake of the dunya. There's no guarantee that deed's accepted. So this is the sign that Allah Ta'ala has given. So where will you get good deeds from? Look at the sequence of our discussion. You sit in the company of a good person, then the caution will come into your life. The respect for the time will come into your life. That I'm not going to leave any good deed in my life. And you'll start to follow that journey. Through every opportunity, you'll learn a good deed. So do you understand what I've said up to now? Yeah, who has told us this? Ramadan is teaching us this. How? By making us greedy for good deeds. Ramadan, oh, pray nafil, Ramadan's come here, we'll get the fard reward. Oh, give salam alaikum to this person, I'll get fard reward. Oh, somebody's upset, distressed, let's go and look after that person and ask him how he is. Fard sawab. Everything you're going to do due to the greed, because you're looking for the quantity, you want more reward. So Allah Ta'ala, he has given us the carrot and the stick, and he's made us greedy, so he wants to make us habitual in doing good. That even after Ramadan, there'll be thawab as well. The same thawab, the same reward. Remember this. Why? Allah says, this is that person who I wanted to become good and pious. So he valued my name of Ramadan. He valued Ramadan. He changed himself during Ramadan. So good news, even after Ramadan, who continues to do these good deeds, he'll get that reward as well afterwards. So is it hard, Islam? Is Islam difficult? Tell me. How foolish and stupid we are. We ourselves are stupid. So many paths Allah has opened us to attain the success by being careful, cautious. So one step of being careful is that never leave a good deed, doesn't matter how small it looks to you. Even if it's nafil, ibadah, all the other good deeds, you get a chance in life. So that's the first. And the second thing, to be a careful person, which is opposite to this, which gives us destruction, that is the sin. This is a very important point to understand. Sin. Guna. Even here we've got problems. Allah says, doesn't matter how small the sin looks to you, don't ever commit that sin. So on the first hand, don't ever leave a good deed. We just discussed that. Second point, never practice a sin. How do we do that? Very easy. And you can also become habitual in this. How? قُونُوا مَا صَادِقِينَ. Again, go to my friend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Go to the Waliullah. You sit with him, you take his company, his effect will rub off onto you, Allah has given the system, and you will become used to not doing the sin. You don't understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So a person who's a thief, he'll get stuck in both. The person who doesn't go to the company of a wali Allah, a sheikh, and he doesn't have friendship with the wali Allah, then he has both things in his life. He doesn't practice good deeds, he thinks they're a minor, and he thinks that small sins are not sins, they're okay. What a beautiful, Hazrat Suhail bin Sa'ad, radiyallahu anhu, this is the meaning of the hadith that he narrated. Hazrat Suhail, radiyallahu anhu, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that like a person who, like, say there's a group of people passing through the jungle, and this hadith that tells us this, and it's explaining the masla to us, this issue, with beautiful style and manner, in a simple way, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the ummah. Not that the scholars will understand, but even a person like me who's ignorant, jahil, even he will understand. Even the children will understand the deen. And who's explaining? Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets. He's teaching us. He didn't put his ummah into, if I give you a speech, technical Muslim style, grammar and stuff, who will understand the, what he's saying? Oh, you say, yeah, he's got a big scholar, he's got knowledge, grammar, hadith, he knows the technicals. What benefit are the people getting from that speech? So always when you talk, discuss Islam, then speak sahal, easy discussion that people can absorb in their brains. From my company of my Hazrat Sahab, his dialect was Suraiki, my Sheikh, Hazrat Sahab. And he used to have big gatherings of muftis, scholars, people from far and wide. But in my life, I never saw the Hazrat Sahab would speak in another language. He would always speak in his simple Saraiki dialect. Yes, and here, subhanAllah, people speak in Urdu, so people see that they don't speak in our dialect. So I speak in people, when they give speeches, high level Urdu, intellectual and technical. But look at Hazrat Sahab, my Sheikh, he's so simple. He had no care who's there. This is about big scholars, muftis from far and wide, but he spoke in his simple dialect of Suraiki so that the common man could understand. Even today, I have the cassettes of Hazrat Sahab's bayans from that time, decades ago. Cassettes used to be made. And I used to keep them, safeguard them. And today, for example, you have CDs and you talk about, like you record pious people. So I also recorded my Sheikh's words. Allahu Akbar. Imagine how enjoyment I must get when I listen to that. Yes, so when I depart, you will have enjoyment, Hazrat's words. So this is life. These are the times, the phases of life. So today when I hear Hazrat Sahib's tape, the tape, it runs, it's grinding through. But the voice at the back, it makes me fresh when I hear it. Hazrat Sahib's recording his beautiful, beautiful message. Then the tears start coming from the eyes, the heart opens up, the eyes glare wide open, and a person arrives to Jannah, paradise. So this is the sohbat of the Sheikh, the teacher. Understand, make your niyyah correct. Make your intention correct to desire, to attain Allah's nearness, to attain Allah's love, to attain Allah's focus, to follow the path of Allah. You must take the hand of a pious person, a teacher, then see how your journey becomes easy. Yes, if you're running for the world, for wasting time, you're going to the company of Wali Allah to analyze his knowledge, his technical awareness, what ilm does he have, what status has he got, what's his ibadah. If you're going to assess that, you're wasting your time. What I've told you, if you go to the company of Wali Allah to sit in his company to attain the things I've just mentioned, then Allah has stated, لَا تَسْكَ جُلُسِمْ, that by you sitting and by the time you stand, you'll be a Wali Allah by that time. Wali Allah. So you should go with this niyyah when you go to the company of a sheikh. What is a wali Allah? What's a friend of Allah? A wali Allah is that inside him he's improved and changed, transformed. His thinking has transformed. His way has transformed. His recognition has transformed. So Allah's Nabi has given us example. So what's the second thing? First thing we need to do to be careful is consider all good deeds as good deeds. And second thing we don't care about. For example, if you slap someone, oh, it's not a sin. Just slapped him in the head. If you lie on one day, where are you going? Well, you're going to the shop. And you say, it's okay, I'm just going here to the shop. It's all right. If you're going to drink water, and you lie for the sake, I'm not going to drink water, I'm just going somewhere else. Somebody's knocking on the door. Oh, he's not home. He's not at home at all. Even though that person's at home, we don't think it's a sin. You've just prayed salah, you've done hajj, you've done umrah, you've done everything, you're spending time in Ramadan. But when the phone comes, is your father there? Oh, father's not there. Dad's not home. So what is this? You think this is a small sin and it won't have an effect? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that There was a tribe, a group of people, and that group of people, they're passing through the jungle. And every man, he's picking up a small stick, small piece of wood. All of them. Not big pieces. There's a tribe going through, and they're all picking up small pieces of wood. Separate, small piece of wood. And they keep on stacking them up. And when they stack them up, it becomes a big mound. So much it will burn that everyone can cook their food from that burning fire. Because small pieces will join. Not that one small piece that could be burnt, but everyone gathered firewood, small pieces, and they stack up and they burn. Same way when you do small sins, they gather up, become a big amount of sins, and for your destruction is enough then. It's enough. And your Jahannam will be made when there's one sin, then you do another sin, then a third. You think there's small sins? They stack up, they become a big stack of fire, enough to burn you in Jahannam. Very easy Jahannam then after that for that person. Think about this. Think about this point. So do you understand the 2 points up to now? One is never leave a chance to do a good deed. Who's telling us? Ramadan. And second point today, never consider a sin as a small sin. Don't go close to the sin. If you sin, then what should you do? Next point. So Allah is explaining what to do if you sin. Because even Ramadan is teaching us this as well. Ramadan's teaching us this as well. You commit a sin, you do something wrong, maybe a small sin, but how do you compensate for that? Allah Ta'ala has prepared the solution. Wastaghfir rabbakum, Allah Ta'ala says. Wastaghfir rabbakum. The Allah Ta'ala, to Allah, seek repentance. Forgiveness. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Astaghfir rabbakum. So here now, Allah Ta'ala, what word has He said? Rabb. He's used the word rabbakum. That the person, Allah Ta'ala, your creator, you are disobeying, you've sinned against Him. Do you know who you belong to? Where you've come from? The who you are disobeying, who you have gone against? Rabbakum, your Rabb, your Lord. Rabb means that who has given you health? What will you say? Allah has given us health. Who has given you hands? Allah has given you hands. Who has given you stomach? Allah has given you the stomach. Who has given you your legs? Allah has given your legs. Tell me any part of your body, your hand that this man gave me, the legs this person gave me, this organ of my body I bought from the shop and my head was made there, my hairs came from there. Everything collectively comes from who? Who? That Allah gives us this, then Allah says I give to every person the body. Allah says I'm Rabb. Rabbul Muslim. I'm not just Rabbul Muslimin, I'm Rabbul Alameen, Allah says. Lord of the universe, I give to everybody. Big, big quality of Allah. Allah says, all the ni'mas I give to you, the treasures, you disobey me so much, you commit sins, you lie. And after that, when you go home, and the food's ready for you, hot food. The chicken's been cooked. And hot chapatis and bread, toasted. And the curry's ready. And your wife's next to you. Comfort. And your shop's running in the background somewhere. Who's enabling all of this? Your Rabb, Allah. Allah says, you are disobeying your Rabb, your Creator, who's giving you all of these things. Wastaghfir. Oh, stupid man, if you've committed a mistake, Allah says, I'm your Rabb. I am the Creator. That I love more than millions and billions of mothers' love put together. I love you more than that. And you're wasting that love. Allah says, okay, if you sin, don't waste it. Because if you sin more, it will become a mountain of sins. It will become the fire of Jahannam. If you say, Subhanallah, you'll become a mountain of sins. It will become the fire of Jahannam. And how good a thing that if you've committed a sin, and look at the amazing, Allah says, I don't even announce it. I don't advertise your sins. It's a secret between me and you, Allah says. I keep it secret, your sin, Allah says. Yes, if Allah says, if I make your sin apparent, the stink of one sin is so bad, the stench, you can imagine, that if a person wouldn't even say salam to you due to the smell of your sins. Allah says, if I make the sin of yours apparent, visible on your forehead, it'd be so ugly, no one would come near to you. How? That has Allah not made monkeys in the world? Allah did not, He not make previous nations khanzir and swine and monkeys and apes and animals? They were human beings like us on the earth. Why did Allah make them animals? Because they disobeyed Allah, they committed sins. Allah Ta'ala changed the scene. So Allah's karam today in mercy, we disobey His sunnahs on our face. The Prophet of Allah ordered us keep the beards, we shaved the beards. We cut the hair. Allah Ta'ala says, if Allah Ta'ala, He could suddenly change our appearance. He could make us monkeys. He could make us donkeys. He could make us apes. Allah says that I gave you a beautiful appearance of the human being, and on your face, who has made the hairs grow on the chin? Has Allah made hairs grow from your stomach? No. Has Allah Ta'ala made hairs grow from other parts of your body? No need. But where the hair grows, the beautiful beard grows, where Allah Ta'ala wanted to make you beautiful, Allah Ta'ala says, I allowed the hairs to flow from the chin. And you say, no, Allah, I'm not going to accept your hairs. I'm going to shave it to look like a monkey. I want to look like a monkey. So should we keep the beard or not? Tell me. Tell me, who are you opposing when you cut the beard hairs? Allah says, I'm giving you hairs on the chin and you're cutting them. Amazing, weird person you are. And not just this, that if you keep the beard, this point's come in my mind, mashallah, all of you have the beard we're sitting in, mashallah. Allah says, if you keep the beard, the limit I've told you as well, not that you can keep the beard according to your desire. No, you can't follow your rules. Can you pray salah the way you want? Will the salah be accepted? No. Can you keep the fast the way you want to keep the fast? No. Okay, we won't eat, but we'll drink. Oh, what difference does it make? Okay, I'll drink a cup of tea. What difference does it make? No, you can't follow your rules, can you? No, because Allah says you can't do that. He's made the rules. In the same way, every action Allah says do it, that the beard, you can't keep the beard to the length you want. Someone's trimmed it, somebody's cut it. What's the minimum length? Allah says 1 fist length is the minimum length. When your beard grows to 1 fist length, then that equals the beard. That's the masala. So if a person grows the beard and it doesn't grow, that's different. That's not a problem. If it doesn't grow long, it's not your fault, but you're not cutting it. You're not trimming it. So if it's not growing, that's Allah's choice. If it's not growing longer than a certain amount, that's Allah's choice. But why do you touch it? If a fist length grows, after that you can grow as long as you want. But don't touch it with your hand. But if you want to trim it, you can trim it after it grows longer than a fist. But if you want to lengthen it, the noble companions, their beards were longer. Long, long beards there. Big beards. And the more beautiful you think it looks to make your face look handsome, you can grow it longer. The more nur that you feel is in your beard, you can keep the beard longer than that. But if you keep it less than 1 fist, it's not a beard, you're the monkey at that time. Yes, if it's naturally not growing, that's alhamdulillah. No problem, that's Allah's choice. That's Allah's choice, alhamdulillah. But the sahaba, one companion came, that Ya Rasulullah, I only have 3 hairs, is this a beard? That it doesn't grow longer than this. It's not growing. I came to him, there's only 2-3 hairs. Is this a beard? The people, look at the other companions, they have long beards, are beautiful, they look with their hairs. A human being looks beautiful, isn't it? Because the beauty of a man is in his beard. This is the husn, the beauty. Women, subhanAllah, that, for example, the women folk, they are doing what the men are doing today, and men are cutting the hairs. The women are buying hairs like wigs, and they're putting hairs in different places, but the men, they're cutting the hairs. So this is a sign of Qiyamah, not tell me. That our brains are upside down. We're so stupid today. For this reason, because we have stopped obeying Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has made us mad, crazy. Go. Go. That it's become a modern today fashion to be naked and to wear the clothes is backward. A person, the more naked he is today, the more naked a woman leaves them. Oh, she's modern, she's fashionable. Oh, high grade. Oh, he's reached that person who's naked today. Imagine the punishment from Allah Ta'ala today. The more a person, he crushes the haya, modesty, people are fashionable, and the more a person is modest, oh, he's mad, he's backward. He's in the olden times. This is the punishment from Allah today. Why? Because we disobey Allah. So these are the punishments that Allah gives to the human beings. These are the punishments that Allah Ta'ala gives to the human beings. So the best person, the best way of life, the best fashion is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to us. The best clothes are the clothes that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore and demonstrated to us that he wore them. There's no better human being than him. Is there any better human being than the Prophet Muhammad? No one in the universe from the beginning of time to the end has come before, nor will he come. No one, no mother has given birth to a man better than him, nor will a woman ever give birth to a man better than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine how beautiful was every action of his and what he did, tell me. But we don't want to imitate him, we want to do what we want. So do you understand what I'm saying today? What do we need to do? So if you commit a sin, if you do something wrong, wastaghfir rabbaka. So your Rabb, who is your Lord, your Creator, he gives everything to you. Imagine how much you've disobeyed him. You are betraying him. You are betraying him. So for that, the solution is, even then Allah says, okay, no problem, Yar. You've made a mistake, isn't it? Wastaghfiru, then ask me for forgiveness, Allah says. Ask me for forgiveness. Summa tubu ilayya, Allah Ta'ala says. Then after forgiveness, then I'll open the next door for you. Say subhanAllah. So, you know this ashra that's going now, the middle 10 days are on this, the ashra of forgiveness, grab hold of it, it's the last day. Whoever does tawbah, then the next door, first class is open for him. The next ashra, the door is open. Whoever succeeds in this ashra, these middle 10 days of Ramadan, Allah opens the next door. Allah says, when you ask me for forgiveness in this ashra, then I will allow you to enter through the next door into the third ashra of Ramadan. Thumma tubu ilayhi. These are beautiful words of the Quran. This is. So now you do tawbah, you won't be empty handed. The next thing is then, after that, your Rabb has forgiven you. So you, so now you should appreciate Allah, that you should be so grateful that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven your sins. He saved you from the fire of hell. Despite the fact that you did so many big sins, you disobeyed Allah. Allah says, forget all of that. Leave that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Leave all of that, Allah Ta'ala says. That Allah says, that person, that he won't even tell you that you sinned because of a person. He'll never complain to you. Allah says, I'll make him forget all of the bad that you did. If it'll come out of his head, his brain. Rather, in his mind, I will replace it with your love, Allah Ta'ala says. And don't be ashamed. Go in front of that big-headed once you have done tawbah. Take the sweets to that person and embrace that person and give him dawah. He will never complain to you that why did you say this? Why? Because I'm Rabb and I will wipe away from his memory the bad you did to him. And now I will instill in his heart the love for you, for that, in that person. So those people who do true tawbah, this is what they get. This is because Allah is Allah. And from everywhere Allah Ta'ala wipes away the sins from the minds of the people, their memories. That person, you oppressed, you beat that person, and you fought with that person, you'll be ashamed. How do I go in front of him? What face will I show to him? How do I sit with him? I don't have enough time, otherwise I shared a brilliant story with you now. There's not enough time. There was a person, extreme pain he gave to the Prophet. But then he wasn't after that. He wasn't washi. Now he's radiyallahu anhu. He became a sahabi after that. Companion. What action made him a sahabi? Just one thing that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that you are coming towards the good. But even then when I see your face, my heart feels pain because I had a lot of love with my dear uncle. And he committed the shahadat of that. He had extreme love. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Hazrat Hamza so much. But Allah's Nabi didn't stop him from doing tawbah. He didn't stop the tawbah, the repentance. And he wrote a letter from Medina to the Prophet ﷺ that there's a person who's sinful and he doesn't believe in Allah. And I'm giving you the meaning of this verse to you now. This is a verse he wrote that I don't believe in Allah. I've murdered. I've done zina as well. Is there any way out? Is there a way I can do tawbah? Say subhanAllah. Who's writing this? That man who did such a big mistake against the Prophet ﷺ that you cannot imagine. He's writing these questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ gave the answer. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ آمَنَا SubhanAllah. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah's Nabi ﷺ, then the verse came, revelation. That yes, if you have done all of these actions, the wrong, you murder, you commit zina, adultery, and you do shirk as well, you're a mushrik. And then he said, is there any way out for me? The answer was, illa man taba. Yes, if he does tawbah, if he repents, subhanAllah, the Quran says, the whole list Allah Ta'ala gave, if he does tawbah, if he repents, amanu, and he brings iman into Allah, belief into Allah, subhanAllah. Then Allah Ta'ala says, forgiven. Forgiven. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And after that he does righteous good deeds. Then he gave the answer. He said, I can't see a way out for me though. Then he said, that a big, big sin he'd committed. He said, okay, fine, you've answered, replied, shirk will be forgiven if the person does tawbah, and even the zani and the qatal. But here you've put a condition. What's that condition? Illa man taba. Taba, if he's done tawbah, repented, okay, I bring about. But the next condition, amalus salihat. He said, if I can't do amalus salihat, good deeds, what do I do then? What will happen to me then? He asks. So this is difficult, this is a condition. So I can't see a way out for me, then how will I get forgiveness? Then Allah's Nabi then gave him an answer. Subhanallah. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Subhanallah. Another verse of the Quran. That don't lose hope in the hope in the forgiveness of Allah, in the rahm of Allah. Allah, Subhanallah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ يَكْفُرُ جَمِيعًا. Allah will forgive all of the sins. For this reason, because He's Ghafoor and He's Rahim as well at the same time. Then he left Medina, Washi. He departed from Medina, the Qatil who murdered Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. He became radiallahu anhu himself because one tawbah transformed his life. Allah says, Wastaghfiru. Ramadan's going. We're like animals. No one keeps the bed. He doesn't pray salah. And he's doing bad actions. He's lying, backbiting, walk around with a parda, hijab, disobey the parents, and disservice to the parents, disrespect the parents, dishonor the parents, and incorrect earnings. No principle in life. This permissible for me, not permissible for me. No differentiation. Everyone's following his action. Man, woman, spending the life the way they want. Do this, do that. Or is there any principle in your life? Do you have any shara? Do you have any constitution or law? Or are you animals? Why are you openly living life like animals? You've been imprisoned in a way of life, which is Sharia. Shariat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a, why do you come out of that cage? If you do a job, ask, the Sharia allow this job? If you work for somebody as an employee, ask, what does the Sharia say about this? That, is it permissible for me to work here or not? Can I work here or not? Is it allowed for me? Can I work in this department, in this sort of region? Not that you just apply here, wages are better here, or it's a better job here, more salary here. No. If you go against Sharia, then you are going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator. Allah ta'ala's got laws, principles. Yes, you can't go out of that circle of those laws. So it's stated, Allah ta'ala says, وَاسْتَغْفُرْ رَبَّكُمْ. If you've committed a sin, then go and ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness from your Rabb. So the next door is opening up now. Alhamdulillah. ثُمَّ تُوبُ إِلَيْهِ, Allah Ta'ala says. That your tawbah, you've done tawbah now you're not a normal human. Just like Washi became radiyallahu anhu, a companion with the sins. So Allah Ta'ala says, now you've done tawbah, you've repented, now your maqam's not the same, a door's opening for you now. With the barakah of this tawbah, thumma tubu ilayh, with the barakah, blessings of repentance. So now you should become a dhakir, remember Allah, tubu ilayh. Now Allah says, I give you permission, the fadhkuruni, you remember me and I will remember you now. Allah says, I've removed the veils now. I'm giving you the reward of your repentance. Look here, what a great door Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up. Immediately after that, Janab, understand this point now. The here Allah ta'ala is hinting in the Quran that doing tawbah, go and do tawbah, that place where you will learn the dhikr of Allah. This is also the learning from this verse. Subhanallah. The condition. So tawbah, can you do in this place? You can do tawbah here, everywhere. You can do tawbah, fine. But if you don't get dhikr of Allah, then your tawbah is not being completed. Because after tawbah, there's a condition. Thumma tuba alayhi. Allah Ta'ala says that I've opened the door. You must enter through that door. And how do you enter through the door? When you go into the company of a friend of Allah. So essential is it to have the company of the friend of Allah. Essential. Doesn't matter how dirty we are, sinful, downtrodden. Just like you come back from work, you're dirty, your clothes are dirty, you're sweaty, smelling. Where will you go straight when you get home? Will you go to the bed? Will you go and change the clothes? What will you look for? The bathroom, the washroom, isn't it? Yeah, you go to the bathroom, it will open the door. Come inside, you're dirty, I'll purify you, the bathroom says. Shower will run, soap, detergent, you'll rub yourself and you are dirty. And the water will say, go. The water doesn't say, go, get out. The bed is saying, get out. Your clothes are saying, get out. Your wife is pushing your way out, dirty, dirty, smelly, smelly. What's the shower saying? Come inside, welcome, I'll clean you, I'll clean you. Allah, the friends of Allah, so pure, so clean. The more dirty, the sinful the person comes, he says, come quickly, I'll purify you, I'll purify you. If you don't come, you're dirty, yes, namazi come, haji come, this man come, who are you? Oh, you don't pray salam, no, get out. He never says that. He'll say, you get back, first the most dirtiest of persons, sinful, you come first. I'm like the shower, I will clean him, I'll purify him, yes, I'll give him the best soap, the best detergent, I've got all of the solution, says the Wali of Allah, the Shaykh. Kunu ma sadiqeen. The Quran says, go in the company of Wali. I went as well. I was so dirty, that between the heavens and the earth, the sins were stacked. Every man sins. There's small sins, they were stuck up. So if those sins weren't washing, cleaned, I was so dirty, I amassed the dirt. Doesn't matter, from externally I look clean, I prayed salah. Yes, I used to pray salah. I used to go to the masjid, I used to give adhan. I used to keep the fast. It wasn't that I didn't do that. But extremely dirty. Where was the dirt? Inside me. Inside me the dirt had accumulated and stacked up. Just like the Prophet said, that's the destruction. Soon as I went to Hazrat Sahab's company, Subhanallah. My Shaykh, his company, Subhanallah. I went to Hazrat Sahib, then forget about outside, the shower washes you from outside. Soon as I sat there, everything from within inside was cleaned, wiped clean. The fragrance started to come, Alhamdulillah. Such a fragrant smell that people started to come and embrace me. They started to love me, have affection for me. Those same people who were enemies and opposed to me started to love me because I had gone into the shower, into the bath, to the company of the Wali of Allah. My niyyah was correct. My intention was correct. I wanted to find Allah. I wanted Allah's nearness. I wanted the love of Allah. I wanted the qurb of Allah. I wanted to be saved from the fire of Jahannam. This was my syllabus. And I went with that syllabus, with that niyyah, with that intention, totally. My first sitting dialogue with my teacher, with Hazrat Sahib, who was the Qutb of the time, he was the Qutb of his time. The greatest daraja of walayat is Qutb. Remember this. And the first dialogue and meeting, and this, my Nia was telling me this. He was sat there, I went and sat next to him. There was nobody else there. The first meeting with my Shaykh, maybe the first time in the Khanka this happened, the Hazrat Sahib's there, and I was there. Allah took everyone away from there. He had hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of Umrees. There was nobody else there, just me. In the company of my teacher, the washroom, and the man who was going to give the bath to me, and I went and sat there. I sat there, so dirty, impure. Nathu, I'm going to be told off and strict. But the walis of Allah look with the noor in the lights. He said, look, Athu, I'm in prison now. I'll put people around me, and they're going to see me being dishonored and being told off. And I was ashamed, extremely sinful. I've done so many sins in my life. What will I say to the wali Allah? But my niyyah was correct. But Allah Ta'ala, because the person who was looking for Allah, he'd gone into the company of the Wali of Allah. I was looking for my Rabb, for my Lord. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I was looking for Allah Ta'ala's nearness. So the dialogue started between me and my Shaykh. And he said to me in Saraiki, what do you desire? What do you want? Straightforward question. And my answer to his question, that I want to leave the dunya and I want to find Allah. I want to find Allah. Then his answer came. Oh, many people have come to me, but a man like you has never come to me, he said. This is the dialogue, the discussion. Such a great kutub. I'm talking to him. He said, many men come to me from morning till evening, but a man like you until today I've not found. That man with your intention until today talking like you has never come to me, he said. Kitwai, he said to me, where have you come from? He said, where have you come from? I said, I've come from a very dirty place, from London. And he smiled. Subhanallah. He said, that didn't you find anyone else on your way? I said, I found many, but the smell, the fragrance was coming from here that drew me here. I said in answer, this is a dialogue like you talk to people in the world. What did he say? He said, Bati. He said, sit here and stand when I stand. Zuhr time I sat, just at the time of Salah, me and Shaykh would get up, no one would come close to us, the masjid was full, the Khanka was full, nobody would come close to us. When they'd see us afterwards, they'd go away, they'd scarper after Salah, they'd leave. Until Isha, Hazrat Sahib took me out of that, from the hujra, from the room, the whole day from Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and we came out of there, and Hazrat Sahib said, go, you are cool now, you can depart. Now you can depart. So what does Allah say? وَاسْتَغْفُرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Do tawbah, you've done tawbah, you pray salah, you do all the worship, but inside you are still dirty. Tubu ila Allah, look for me, Allah Ta'ala says. Go to that place where always there's zikr of Allah, so you can also become the dhakir. So that always my tawajjuh is on you, my focus on you. This is a great portion of the verse, and this just came into my mind, the meaning. What a beautiful verse, and I started to discuss that today. So I started with the Rabb, and in the end Allah also says Rabb in the end of the verse. Subhanallah. Wastaghfiru rabbakum thumma tubu ilayhi. Inna rabbi rahim Wadood. That Allah says, I'm opening another door for you now. The soon as you start doing good deeds, you'll increase, you'll get better, you'll increase. And tawbah, where does it bring to you? Yes, it makes you a dhakir. Allah says that I've included you in my dhikr. When you start doing this action of dhikr, then what does Allah say? Inna Rabbi. Subhanallah. Now who is your Rabb? Who is your Lord? Allah's sift is quality. Rabb that has been made apparent in the world. That the magnificence of Allah that has come, the first tajalli, the first splendor of Allah that has come to the world is of Rabbuyat. Yes, otherwise this world would not function. The spiders are also crawling, the small ants, they are all, everything Allah says, I am giving the sustenance. Allah says, I've created and I'm running the system. Why are you worried? So what tajalli did Allah Ta'ala create? Of Rabuyat. Allah says, these are my tajalliyat, the splashes of my magnificence. So that tajalli, Allah Ta'ala says, the Rabuyat, that's the tajalli that's allowing the world to function. So this is the gathering of Sufi, so I'm just sharing with you these points. These points, so you can learn. So that's the tajalli of Rabuyat that came. So Allah says, Inna Rabbi, Allah Ta'ala said, I made apparent in the world the first tajalli of mine that I'm giving to you. So now in the world, in the heavens, whoever does true tawbah, true repentance, subhanallah, then from the heavens the mercy rains down, and from the earth I'll give you khuraq and goodness for you, happiness. So today with the family I was talking today, there is my murid as well, my student. MashaAllah, he's a doctor, he's got a PhD, he's an engineer, and he's a colonel in the army as well. And he's a darvesh as well. I was talking to him today, and he said, Hazrat, I want to take permission from you. I said, what permission do you want? He said, I want to go to itikaf. I said, okay. Go. I said, what about your family? Look at your family. I'm telling you, he's from Pakistan. A person, when they live in Pakistan, you go and look at their status, look at their environment. A person of that stature. Imagine. They have many children? He said, 4. Sons. First hafiz, second hafiz, third hafiz, fourth is becoming hafiz. Day and night, there's tarawih at home, Quran is recited, there's parda, alhamdulillah. Segregation, apart from Allah, there's nothing you will get from his house. Nothing. Wastaghfirullah. This is tawbah, repentance. You don't know what is the dunya at all. They don't even know what is dunya. I asked him, he said, our majlis takes place there. I said, do you listen to the majlis? He said, not one, all three we listen to, he said, all three. I said, what's the time there? He said, forget the time, we stay awake, we've set the alarm clocks, we listen to the majlis. Which majlis are you asking? I'll tell you what majlis that I listen to. He said, so this is the situation. How does a person become like this? When he does true tawbah, true repentance, the doors continue to open. Inna Rabbi, happiness, a very happy household. No dunya there, no material things there. They are enjoying their life. Nothing to give to anyone, nothing to take from anyone. House on rent, no issues, no worries. And imagine how he is a fakir, that person. How close to Allah. And look at the status he has in the hereafter. But look how the deen has overwhelmed or overcome them. Because Allah Ta'ala has given a happiness. Because happiness is in the heart. You don't get happiness from a house. Otherwise most happy would be, what's their name? Those people, you know those people who from theft they have amassed their money, and from theft they've made their money and big shops, businesses and buildings, and they've transferred rupees. They'd be happy, wouldn't they? But they can't even sleep in the night. They're stuck in their trap and their problems. They can't get rid of the issues. So they think that the basis of happiness is wealth. Doesn't matter how you earn it. But that person who understands that this is not the reality. Happiness, the basis of happiness is Allah. It's Allah. Go close to Allah as much as you can. Even if He gives you dry bread, your Rabb, then you'll eat with being grateful. You'll have happiness beyond happiness. The person whose heart is happy for him, you can see that the whole world is happy for him. But if, for example, if there's sorrow in the heart, then it doesn't matter how many things around him you give, but he'll have sorrow. You say, where have you come from? Oh, what's happened to your face? Why are you looking down, distressed? Yeah, that person always stays in sorrow and distress because he, in the dunya, the dunya itself is a sorrowful place. That never does the sorrow of the dunya ever go. His face is always frowning and creased up and complaining. One's gone, he wants another one. Food is hanging, his face is hanging and complains problems. But the person who doesn't have any concern about dunya, no worries about the dunya, he carries on laughing and smiling. He has no need. He has no fikr. He has a different fikr, different concern. You don't understand what I'm saying? So Allah is Rabb. Allah says, "Inna Rabbi, I am your Rabb, your Lord. Go, I've opened the doors for you for ease, comfort. I am Rahimun. I am that I have surrounded you and covered you in my Rahmah. Wadood. Look at this word. Look at these words. With Rahm, Allah has used the word Wadood. So pay attention to me. Don't look here, left or right. What is the word? Rahim, Rabb, Rahim, and Wadood. Wadood. Wadood is what? This is the quality of love, muhabbat, subhanAllah. Allah says, I'm your Rabb, I'm your Lord. And on top of that, the second point is that I've surrounded you in my rahmah. But even then there's something like that. Go, I've also started to love you, Allah Ta'ala says. Yes, Rabbi Wadood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give us true tawbah, true repentance. This ashra is disappearing. Today's lesson is a brilliant lesson. Do you understand? And not in this will you do what? That a small deed, so-called, never consider it a small good deed and discard it. And never consider a sin as small and implement it. If you commit a sin, then turn to Allah, immediately do astaghfar and ask for repentance, forgiveness. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to do this. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif quickly and we'll do dhikr as well.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salam. Amma la taqabbal minna innaka antas samiu. Ya Allah, bimaro ko shifa naseeb farma. Ya Allah, bimaro ko shifa naseeb farma. Ya Allah, bimaro ko shifa naseeb farma. Sallallahu ta'ala ala khair al-khalqi Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi. Bi rahmatika ya Rahman.